Blog Talk Radio.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Keri Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Keri Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Drum, please!
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Buzz. But back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less than checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around and see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime. ball to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? Not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's Tuesday morning early. Happy May, everybody. I'm Kerry Hines. It is Tuesday morning, May 3rd of 2022. It's our show number 706, show number 706. And we got a lot to get into this week. It really is going to be quite extraordinary. We have everybody from Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk Radio Show folks will be up a little later this morning. And to our Wednesday schedule and the folks at Upscale Magazine that you guys have been waiting for will be with us. Thursday, of course, we have the brand new day for Eugene Davis and Conversations with Hair. He'll be on about 8 o'clock on Thursday. And, of course, Friday, we're so happy and honored to honor our moms. And we're also doing a very, very special panel, TV countdown. I should say countdown of our favorite TV moms. And so it's just going to be an extraordinary week, and we have not forgotten that May is Black Hair Month here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, and so we're just happy. And don't forget, also, we have our new conversations, I should say, coffee, tea, and conversations, which kicks off weekdays at 7:30 in the morning. we're happy. It's a lot of good things to get into. Got myself, Otto, Michael Hopkins, Katrina Noor Nicole, we're Michael's Angels, and so much going on. So we want you guys to join us, and it's going to be a great show, and I'm happy. Again, I'm Carrie Hines, and stay with us.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
We're having conversations on hair. Today we are talking with Daryl Thompson Hair. On Instagram, it's Daryl Thompson Hair. And we want to talk about this big topic today. And everyone has been talking about alopecia and the Will Smith and Chris Rock slap and how important it is to our community about hair loss. So I want to talk to Daryl today, who is a hair weaving extraordinaire. He's been doing it for so many years, and he is the personification of an expert. So we want to ask him, how do you feel about alopecia? And do you think it is an important topic in today's society, and especially when it comes to hair weaving? Daryl, what do you think?
You know, I think it's definitely a big subject. You know, we as hairstylists, and me for myself, I will say, is somewhat guilty of not getting more research to understand what alopecia really is. And there have been instances in situations to where I had to refer people over to someone else that knows how alopecia works and understands it. And I think it's important to understand it because it's becoming to be like a big thing since the slap with Will Smith and Chris. It's just different now because people need to understand the whole point of alopecia and the importance of it. I think it definitely causes particularly women that deal with alopecia. It's definitely something that's deeper than many of us think, because some of us may have never really dealt with alopecia, so we wouldn't really understand how some women feel within themselves that struggle with alopecia. So I think understanding it more and being able to relate to it better will make a hairstylist that doesn't understand it a better person. And so I took it upon myself, you know, later on, I want to study more about it and understand how to treat that type of thing, because it's just not my arena, but I would like to know a little bit about it so that I can see when it begins to start, or be able to have discussions with, you know, potential clients that may struggle with alopecia. You know, there are some times where someone with alopecia may not be able to get a hair weave or a hair extension because the hair is currently going through that transition of losing a hair. So it's really important to understand, see what stages they're in so that you can be able to refer them out or recommend them something else, as opposed to making the matters worse or even more challenging.
Yeah. So that's why I brought you on, because that's such valid information, and there's so much to unpack right there. And when it comes to like traction alopecia, there's a plethora of different types of alopecia, but the one I wanted to focus in is on traction alopecia, because a lot of our community, especially as African American women, they tend to associate hair loss with braids, with extensions, and not understanding, because it's something that hasn't been communicated in our communities as we were coming up as hairstylists, as we were coming into the hair space, say like 20, 30 years ago. We just attributed to just hair loss. But there's so many things like stress, medication, like we said, traction alopecia, not having your extensions done properly have contributed to hair loss for the woman 45 to 70, you know, because it was something that just wasn't talked about in the community. We just accepted it as is. And now that it's on the forefront of, you know, people's tongues and in the media, it's something to say, okay, wait, maybe it is this, or maybe this caused that, you know. And when we look back at like relaxers how we now say, okay, we're going to give a relax, so we're going to give a Tex-Lax, so we're going to only relax up to 65%, whereas before it was the norm to say, okay, 85 to 100%, and not knowing why the hair was shedding, you know. So okay, that knowledge wasn't common amongst, and then our community also is guilty of selling home kits, you know, allowing the novice be able to relax their own hair at home, having no idea. All they wanted to see was it being straight. So and that contributed to scalp damage and follicle damage and all the different things that have contributed to where a lot of women are past 45 in their hair condition. So my question to you is, do you run into a lot of traction alopecia? And you just stated that you do not if you see that the scalp is damaged or the hair is damaged or too weak to carry the extension service, that you will not do it. Do you run into that a lot? And what is the demographic on who you see that has this issue?
Well, you know, me putting myself out as an expert in hair extensions and hair weaves, I get a lot of calls from women that may be struggling with some type of hair loss or some type of issue, and maybe they're assuming that I can, you know, do certain things to cover their baldness and, you know, in that area. I'm not a hair replacement expert. I do a lot of hair extensions, but when I and hair weaves, but when I deal with situations like that, I normally have to consult with them because I need to see exactly what's going on with the scalp. And a lot of times what I'm seeing is either traction alopecia or some women that may just have some kind of issue where they're losing hair and not understanding why. And so I can't put a Band-Aid over that because I don't understand, first of all, what's going on internally. So a lot of times I recommend them out to, you know, people like trichologists or dermatologists that can understand what the problem is.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is we begin to, I guess, advertise ourselves as being hair replacement experts and not really understanding what comes along with that whole big picture, as opposed to, you know, segmenting what it is that you actually do and giving them an understanding, because there are a lot of situations where a hair weave or a hair extension is not going to work for a person that's struggling with that. So I see people that of all different, you know, I see some women that are white that may have that issue. I see black women that have that issue. But I'm finding that it's more, I'm finding that it's more in black women that may struggle with that issue. And so I think the importance of understanding that and really being able to identify that is important. Even with traction alopecia, you know, what happens a lot of times with traction alopecia is either the stylist is braiding or applying the pieces of hair too tight, or either the client isn't coming back on a regular basis to have that hair replaced and redone. Because, you know, there's buildup and a number of things that causes the scalp not to breathe, so then that causes traction alopecia. And then you go back and take the hair out and see that there's an issue and you put the hair back in. Sometimes it's important to give the hair a break the hair can sort of restore itself and recover and then come back. So that's just important to understand that, and that's sort of like where I am with that whole piece of the hair weaving and hair extension space.
Okay, so it's very important, not only for the consumer, but also for a stylist, to understand that it's not always about making money, it's about making the right choices. And in those choices, like you said, that if you see there's an issue, you would recommend someone in trichology, because that's their expertise, to examine the scalp and examine the hair and to see what's going on a molecular level. So what my question is now is, so many people have come into issues when it comes to traction alopecia, and I just listened to what you said, and every point that you made is valid. And it's up to the stylist to be responsible also in making those judgments to whether it's not about making more money off that client, but what is doing the right thing for their hair and scalp health, correct?
Right, exactly.
Exactly. So some of the solutions that I have seen on the internet and things that people talk about, people talk a lot about black castor oil. What is your view on black castor oil for scalp treatment, say, prior to a service? Do you think it's beneficial, or do you think the misinformation about black castor oil has bombarded the internet and we need to have a better understanding of what black castor oil does and does not do?
You know, I'm actually tired of a lot of the different gimmicks that come on that this new movement that people are having these discussions about this makes your hair grow or
right.
that does this to hair. But it's really, and then you're actually putting black castor oil on your hair and the hair is dry. So
absolutely.
If you're looking for moisture, you can't put like castor oil on your hair while it's dry because it's not going to create any moisture. The only way you can get moisture is that if the hair is wet and you put oil
correct.
On it. So
correct.
that's just another misconception of how to use, you know, black castor oil. But, you know, I just don't feel like I don't feel like it's something that's going to make the hair grow. I don't feel like it's going to do anything really to the scalp. It's just something that people are talking about. There may be some benefits from it, but it's basically in your DNA, and it's hard for me to explain that to some people that I may have discussions with about your hair is going to grow if you use this or a certain length, and no one seems to understand that your hair is only going to grow as long as your DNA will allow it to grow.
Correct.
And that's just it.
That's
but,
that.
You know, black castor oil, I kind of stay away from those kinds of items, those kinds of products, because it's really not benefiting the hair. It's not benefiting the scalp. And I may have some flashback about that or some negative feedback, but I feel like it's just some type of a movement because people are really into the natural hair movement. And, you know, it's all about oils. But every oil is not good for a person's hair or scalp. You know, everybody has different chemical makeups, and some people's hair may respond to this type of oil, whereas somebody else's hair may not respond the same way. So it's really finding out what works best for you, the individual, and their scalp.
Yes, and I totally agree with that because, you know, hey, you have so many people who swear by black castor oil. Some people swear by Minoy oil, like you said, it's all up to the individual and their hair structure, their DNA, and how their hair receives products. Some people are high porosity, where their hair is open. Then you have some of the low porosity, where the cuticle is laid down and doesn't receive product as easily. So it just all really goes down to the individual and just doing research and trying different things in order to accommodate the scalp and accommodate the hair texture and the hair type. You know, you are located in Northern Virginia, correct? Where exactly are you located? What city?
I'm in the Tysons Corner area out in the Vienna, right out of Vienna. So I'm near all of the popular malls in the, you know, the high-end shopping centers, all of the Louis Vuitton stores, the Gucci stores. I'm in that area, and I've met a lot of people in that area, and there are people that come from all different parts of the area to come see me, you know, based on the information and the skill that I have, and, you know, just maybe some of the recommendations that I've given. Because a lot of people that I see that come to visit me, I may not end up doing their hair. It may be something else that I would have to refer them out because I'm not, you know, an expert in that. And so, but it's a really nice area, and I like the area that I'm in. It's very transient, if you could say it that way.
Yes, amazing, because I went on your website, and there's only 5-star reviews. You are the man. I was like, okay, all these good compliments. I love it. Yes, 5-star. So can you give the listeners your website, please? I know I said Daryl Thompson Hair, and that's on DTH on Instagram. But let's give them your website so they can check out all your fabulous stuff that you do.
So my website is Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L, thompson.glossgenius.com. And that's where it's sort of a booking site, so it kind of gives you a little bit of detail about what I do, a little more information, some illustrations and pictures of some of the foundations that I've done, and just some things that can kind of help you navigate to what it is that you feel that you need when you come to visit me.
Perfect. Darryl, I thank you for your expertise, and I thank you for always being my brother in the hairstyling industry. We always got each other's back, and thank you for your knowledge and your years of experience. You are always a pleasure to talk with, and guys, look out for more stuff with Darryl Thompson Hair and Eugene Davis Hair. We are trying to change the industry one conversation at a time. Thank you, Darryl.
You're very welcome.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
I was just thinking. And, you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, the Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media. And they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Camu Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Terry Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mention folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch. And I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair Hit Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation. Because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by, you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that. And this was, you know, light years. I know who Camille Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know. But the annals are open. Our archives are open. And I told her she has free reign to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I notice for the most part that when I look at media, I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that, you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story, whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, like during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece today. But what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever. And they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African-Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's Black people, yep. But it's not really Black history. If you want to talk about the what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, you know, they think that just by showing Black people and putting the banner Black, you know, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing and where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are, you know, I've never wanted to just, you know, when I like just to look at the shows and not, you know, even if they have black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, you know, it's not, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be black, who, you know, where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be black, and somebody else is, because they, it's like I call them real, you know, invisible kind of, that can fit into anybody's mindset. You can,
commitment, I think it's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart, all of those, you know, are things that you can, you know, paint and make it seem if like XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that, you know, more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you know, and you know, you invite them to present it, and I think that's very healthy. And again, you haven't been, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for what, 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park it on.
Okay.
But Mary, I do in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, you know, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And, but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it just does, it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the you know, the confrontations.
Me
with,
Too moment.
Yeah, the Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of, you know, of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught, and this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it, I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be as far as the discourse I got from the media was to lock them up, throw away the key.
Right. And again, not to say whether he's guilty or innocent. I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody's, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination, and I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient, he wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time. But the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit. I'm not going to judge that. But I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting, and he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And, you know, we have more than one, but his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things, I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. So I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind, or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is to just to end that, that's exactly what happened. We wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University, and there is, you know, a very, there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's connected, he's from Philly, he's connected to Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he had done so much in the education sphere. And so, so yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. Don't even, that's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if, to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So Mary, Thank you for that. Oh, boy, I love, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I have to, I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network, right? You've got the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are, sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above. And let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show. And Hair Radio at that time was one word, so it was H-A-I-R-A-D-I-O. It was the Hair Radio Show, so it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it, but at that time it was H-A-I Radio, the Hair Radio Show. And so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast. And we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's on AM radio. So it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They start on the podcast.
Right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show. And that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids and then came back to the East Coast and started a
program. Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. And I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story. And then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder to just mention, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s. And started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which just means one of the old big-time airlines. And got with my coworkers, and I was inspired to create a children's character. And I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know this school, it's USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to U.S. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast, that I met out there in L.A. And so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in L.A., which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper even to this day. They're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard, which I lived off of Wilshire in L.A. And so John was working for, Billboard magazine. And he had been, they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at his article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, she's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap superstar at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, there's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in LA, they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in LA, the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in LA know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, let me just, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story being so influenced by, and I'll say that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, but yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century. So I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friend or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense to the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine, their airplane magazine. So you guys know
I remember
the airplane.
Those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page 3. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Oh. So the magazine, they had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I'll put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast, they would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page 3 so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane. Well, that did it for me. So that's how I kind of, that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think, and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success of the airline. And then the big news is the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that
oh, wow.
led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out mm-hmm. to that building, and because somehow I got connected with a public relations firm, back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm. And I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors and that, and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in the conference room. They all came in. And they connected me with an outfit that took radio. They had their own radio network, which I still remember. And they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that commercial of my cassette onto 875 stations advertisements. So we were in 875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial. I'm sorry, get your own, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show. Now, remember, this is Los Angeles. He had opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter, Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays. And that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in L.A. anyway at 7:30 in the evening. Called the Fluff the Bear radio show. And from there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show from Nick Stewart Theater, called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Stewart had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater. His board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So there you go, Miss Mary.
Wow. Now we're listening to Hair Radio Network. Or which one are where we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Gary?
Well, that's the thing, and I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast, and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time, with two assistants, and again, upstairs in Newark. It was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking, I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips. And that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first Hair Radio Show. Even on my own production,
well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is still is. But they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about like the cosmetology side of hair care. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did like natural hair, but he was like a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it, and they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at the a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So you could dial in, but it was you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them to say hi.
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to. And I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting if they'll accept me. I'm thinking, you know, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, you know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Okay. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show, and that's how I started. But Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, The Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is The Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that, and we started again with folks, you know, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry, let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting from through the rafters and all kinds of movement. And it was I was so touched. And then I got to know a lot of the African-American hairstylists who were there. They were off in their rooms. It was like a convention, and they invited me. They took me in and made me a part of their family. And that feeling is still with me today. And I have devoted myself to the betterment of this community, and it's never waned. I'm still a person who cares very much for hairstylists and for hair people. That will never change. And I'm glad that I hope that I've represented the community well. And so that is how the Hair Radio Show began. And we brought it back in 2015 as the morning show, kind of like a, you know, Steve Harvey-ish, you know, type radio show in which, and I didn't know if it was going to be accepted. I said, you know what? 3 hours every day, weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 hours a day live? Oh, my goodness.
That's commitment.
That's commitment, mm-hmm. and that's how I started. And so I began, you know, producing that, never having been on this particular broadcast platform. But I started, and I had some friends, and they walked me through how to turn the buttons and hit the different things, because I'd never done it on that platform. And I got started with show number one, which is still out there for folks to listen to. But the issue with that is there is a big difference from listening back then to those three-hour shows. Like, my first week was just chaos. I didn't know what I was doing and hitting different buttons and all of that stuff. Well, again, that was in 2015, and since then, we've had quite success with it. We're talking about, you know, like close to 1,000 shows later, and so I'm just so grateful. I really am. So you ask about some of the guests who were on the show. Again, early on, it was just about giving hair tips, and so I would have on illuminated hairstylists, so folks who had reached a certain level in the industry, as well as others who they were just sharing their success with other hairstylists who were on the way up. And I felt that all could contribute to better hair care for everybody. And that was the whole idea and the foundation of the Hair Radio Show. But I do have to share this. It all sounds like, oh, it's perfectly normal to talk about hair on radio. Well, yeah, it sounds perfectly normal now because of something called a podcast. But when I created and I first told individuals, I'm going to do a show called The Hair Radio Show, I was literally laughed at. Literally to my face laughed at. A show about hair on radio? What? Nobody wants what?
You just got to know who you are, right?
Well, mm-hmm. let me tell you, Mary, that was how it was looked at back in 1995. So no one knew of a word called podcast, in which podcast talks about all kind of a variety of subjects. Screwing in a light bulb can be a podcast. Well, nowadays, that's accepted. But in my day, again, there was no such thing as a podcast. We preceded the internet. So there was nothing but called like radio. And so I like to think of myself as, you know, the father of the podcast, if you will. Because that's what it was.
Oh, absolutely,
and,
a pioneer.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh. And when you talk about it's your day, I mean, it's still your day because
you have
not stopped growing and you've expanded just tremendously in the topics, in the range, and how you tie things together. It's like I know you have one book, but you need to make another book to explain kind of this rise and how you process, because it is amazing.
Well, you're very kind. And yes, I do have a couple of things out there that's available for you guys to read, and I'll talk about that. But Mary, that's the whole thing. And talking about laughing at the idea and notion of talking about hair, I remember here in, I was in Jersey, so the Northeast, and New York, the big newspaper, we have a couple. We have the big New York Times, which is a daily newspaper here for all the city. But we also had the New York Daily newspaper. And that was just as popular out there. Now, these are not, you know, I call, you know, throw papers for the urban side of town, if you know what I mean. So these were newspapers that reached across the board to every walk of life in New York City. And I remember that at that time, the reporter in New York, in the Daily newspaper anyway, they used to do a section called Radio Something. It was a radio section. They used to talk about radio shows back then. And I used to read the man's column. I was so excited that we would be mentioned in his column one day. I was so excited. And so that's what happened. I remember he printed something about hair radio, but it wasn't all that kind. What he said was that, here it is, here's the announcement to tune in to Hair Radio Show, but why would anybody really care so much? Hair is so esoteric. That was the word he used. I didn't know really all that.
Esoteric. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yes, and I had to look it up then too, but I knew it wasn't a pat on the back, so to speak. So I was just happy that my name was in the newspapers. It was in, literally in the New York Daily newspaper, just that one line or two. And I didn't appear again in the New York Daily newspaper until maybe 10 years later when I did a 10-year celebration about the Hair Radio show. And it was done at this huge place in Manhattan called the TV of the Museum of Television and Radio, of TV and Radio.
Oh, wow.
And I had never, this is not a place where you see a lot of folks from the hood going up into, okay, I'm going to just put it honest, out there. And this was where they had been around for like years paying tribute to broadcast. And we're talking about broadcast, okay? And it is called, again, the Museum of TV and Radio. Now, they changed their name just recently to the Pelley Center. And you can Google that out there. So they're still around, but they had a name change since we were there. They allowed me to come in. I couldn't afford to rent the space. And they allowed me to do a special 10-year celebration in their location. And I remember one of my good friends, Marilyn Bell, who is, she had a magazine called Black Elegance, BE, that she was the editor of or behind producing it. So she came to our event. So many other folks came to the Museum of TV and Radio in Manhattan in New York City to our celebration. And it was wonderful. They had chairs. You could all sit around and listen through the headsets and talk through their mics. And it was beautiful, a beautiful location. So I've got pictures of that, too. So that was my beginning. That was my beginning. So you asked about hair products and all of that in my books. I recognized that I had a lot to share. And I tell all the fans of the show, even to this day, that it's got to be something that is real and true. And, you know, a lot of folks have gone on to emulate what I do or to be inspired by what I do. All that's wonderful and good and all of that. But it's flattery, but mine is really, truly organic. Like I tell people, well, you know, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show, my 3-hour live broadcast, which is Monday through Friday through Blog Talk. I said, you're listening to that from 6 to 9 New York Times, 5 to 8 Central. But that's only 3 hours each day. I said, I literally am the Hair Radio Show 24 hours a day. This is not just something I turn on and turn off at the end at 9 o'clock when we go off the air that day. I'm literally living the life of the Hair Radio Show. I do interviews. I book guests. I give people updates. I write down things. It is a full on operation, Mary, a full-on operation. So that's what I generally
do. Amazing. I mean, you still have to take care of yourself, so thank goodness you finally established business hours. But I know even when business per se is not something you're engaging in, you are still wrapped up in business things. So, I mean, we all benefit from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, well, you got it, Mary. And that's really how we started the Hair Radio Show, then morphed into the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're still there in that space. And then I turned that into a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair radio network. And what that was designed to do at the time, this was in the early 2000s when I first created the Hair Radio Broadcast Network is what I called it back then, in which I would literally have a hair radio show going on around the clock. And that's how I started. And that was way ahead of everybody, way ahead. The only issue at that time in the early 2000s is that many of the hair salons didn't have computers in our community. They might have had them in the other communities. We didn't have that many of that. I used to literally go and walk from salon to salon in the Northeast. So this is not something, you know, I didn't just wake up and decide I'm going to do hair radio. I lived every drop. I wrote hand cards and would pass out things and walk and talk to people. I went anywhere I could find to get the ear of folks who would listen, literally. And so that was my big thing. It really was. And I tried my darndest and kept beating the drum of the Hair Radio Show out there. And we kind of kept on going from there. And that was really the generic start of how things kind of picked up. And my 24-hour network, I started it, and I said, you know what? I even knew that that was too early and ahead of its time. And I knew and felt it. I knew and felt it then. That was in like maybe 2003 or 4, something like that. So years later, long after I created even the 3-hour broadcast, long after I created that, because when I tell people that we're on or about around 1,000 broadcasts or what have you, it makes people think that I'm talking about my entire 25-year career or what have you, and I'm not. I'm only talking about the last several years as the morning version, the morning show,
wow,
the radio morning show. So what I've done, the difference between that original 24-hour network that I created, the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, even the sharp-eared listeners, some of our interviews are classic interviews from that time period. You'll hear me intro them as the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Well, you guys know out there, I no longer call it the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I call it the Hair Radio Streaming Network. So we are streaming these days, and I'll talk about that down the road, about the difference between broadcasting and streaming and all of that, and somehow some parts are the same and so forth and so on. But our streaming network is what has really done amazing things. And so we're the first to have that, which is based in hair and beauty. So I kept that theme going on our new version of this 24-hour network. But now I get to put on classic shows that I couldn't have done back then. I get to air the entire 3-hour episodes from our amazing archive of Hair Radio Morning Show episodes. And so largely when you tune in, you have that opportunity to listen to some of that, to listen back literally to some of those classic episodes with amazing guest stars that you asked me about earlier. Those guest stars include folks like CeCe Peniston, the amazing Dionne Warwick, you're talking about folks who, CeCe Peniston is the queen of dance, sold millions of records through Billboard. They kept track of all of that. But CeCe was one of the most sweetest celebrities. She was the very first celebrity that I think I interviewed ever for radio. She was kind enough to come up to my production studio, I told you, in Newark, New Jersey. And she and her manager, she came there. It was a 3-story walk-up. And I sent a limo for CeCe to come to our station in Newark, and she did. And she was just extraordinary and sat down with us. But the first I think she came to the production studio, and there was just one mic. So we were real close in those days, literally.
Wow.
And we shared that one mic. And CeCe was so sweet. She's the one out there, if you guys know, she had the big hit record called Finally. And so many others, you know, We Got a Love Thing and all these other songs that she had, just huge success. And she's still out there, literally. So CeCe came to the studio and did the interview with us at that time. And she, like I said, she was the very first to come to the broadcast, and she had huge hit records and all of that. And so from her, I went on to interview a lot of other music, local folks in music and all of that, but to have the kind of success that I would later experience interviewing folks like Ray Goodman and Brown, all those folks, they were on the show. And I think they started their radio show after coming to my radio show. But I went on to interview folks like Dionne Warwick and, again, Melba Moore. You're talking about Grammy and Tony Award winning names. Gerald Austin, who also won a Grammy. I also interviewed the fella from the Four Tops. I interviewed so many people.
And their assistants, like the guy, Mary Wilson's assistant.
Yes, recently. Yeah, that's right. Well, the great Mary Wilson. And again, we touch across the landscape of entertainment. And you know, and political world. I've interviewed folks from TV and movies and all that wonderful good stuff, and folks I've been most inspired by. But yeah, Mary Wilson, that we lost not all that long ago, her last assistant was a big, wonderful fellow that I had not known before this interview piece. And he came to our show and told us the story. He was the person who discovered this amazing, incredible singer that she had passed. And you guys know Mary Wilson. She was one of the supreme singers, literally singing right next to Diana Ross and the other lady who had passed away earlier, that they kind of made that movie. We're talking about Florence Ballard, who they kind of made that movie mm-hmm. Dreamgirls about. So all this. So, yeah, I've been able to tell the stories, and that's the other thing that goes back to all of this success is that being able to allow folks to come on this broadcast and tell their stories about their amazing connections with some of these superstars. So who else did we have? I've literally interviewed folks that I really wanted to know about. My other favorite big one. Go ahead, Mary. Were you going to say something?
I was going to ask, who were some of your favorites? I know one of them that I found really entertaining, and it might just be because of the story, was the glue girl. It wasn't her, but the one who helped her remedy her issue.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. That's a juicy one.
You're just
one.
Always really progressive.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I've had many folks. Everybody from being on radio, literally live with the White House when Michelle Obama was in the White House, her stylist, Johnny Wright at the time, who went on to do his own TV show on VH1, with friends of mine as well from the West Coast. But yes, Johnny was on our show. He literally told us all about being Michelle Obama's hairstylist at the White House, and that was just incredible. I think at the time, also one of the biggest folks was Beyonce's dad, who was on our show, Matthew Knowles. And Matthew came to the Hair Radio Morning Show as a guest. He had no idea what we were really about. And when he got on, as many of you guys have heard his interview with us, he was so impressed, I think, because he had a chance to reconnect with his roots. And he told us about when Beyonce was a little girl and he had his family and his ex-wife, Tina Knowles. They had that hair salon out in the Houston area. So these were opportunities for me to tell, let them tell their stories. And but one of my favorites, because that's, I think, your question also, was that the gentleman from who was over at CBS, worked with the Good Times TV show.
John Amos?
Well, he worked with all of those people. John is still somebody I follow on social media to this day out of northern New Jersey. But no, the gentleman's name is Eric Monte. And you guys, I was a little kid watching Good Times and the Jeffersons and what's happening now and all that stuff. And I remember every time I would look at the episodes, I'd see the name on my screen, Eric Monte. And I said, who in the world's name is Eric Monte? And I never knew who it was, but I always wondered who this Eric Monte was. And it took years before I would figure out that it said the creator, Eric Monte. And so that's all I knew. To me, Norman Lear, who was the Caucasian gentleman, was the person who created these characters. That's what I thought. But it did have his name there. It said Eric Monte, and also the gentleman who played Michael, let me just make it clear. It was Mike Evans and Eric Monte. Mike Evans mm-hmm. was the one who played Lionel number one on the Jeffersons TV show with the Afro. They later had another.
I am remembering now because he wrote for it. Yes, I'm remembering now.
Exactly. Wow. Well, he was one of the co-creators of, I mean, it's an interesting story that I tell and I've played on the Hair Radio show, and I'll get it on sometime for you guys when you go over to our 24-hour streaming network at www.hairadio.com. You'll hear the story being told over there. But, yes, to get to the point of that, Eric Monte and Mike Evans went out to Los Angeles to pursue show business careers, and they both ended up connecting with this producer who is a super producer named Norman Lear. He's still with us. And, you know, and so Mike Evans and Eric Monte, and Eric Monte went on himself to create a movie that is, of anybody of a certain age, it is identifiable with our culture, called Coolie High. Well, he wrote
High
based on his life. Yeah. And so Eric, and Mike, and again, Mike Evans, if you guys remember on the TV show Good Times, the family's name was Evans. Well, that's why it was named Evans, because it was named after Mike Evans. And the little kid name was Michael. That's why his name was Michael Evans. He was named after Mike Evans, the actor and the writer. So so that went on, and the whole story unfolded. And we were so lucky to have this amazing – when I came back to radio, as I told you, I came back to the morning show and created the three-hour broadcast called the Hair Radio Morning Show back in 2015. I had the opportunity to interview one of my childhood heroes, and that is the incredible Eric Monte, who welcomed me back to radio. And along with his, so that meant the world to me to have, and Eric Monte provided a special message to all the fans of the broadcast. So that is something that I will always take with me. And that happened around the same time, the end of 2014, when the New York Daily newspaper, remember I told you about the two earlier times, I had brief mentions in that newspaper. But this time, at the end of 2014, they dispatched a big-time writer and photographer to my home area right here in Brooklyn, where I still live, and produce everything, to do a big story on me. That's out there on the internet. It's out there, Kerry Hines, New York Daily News article. And that is still out there, and they did a big story on me. That was the same day that I got to interview the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And so, and his words were, "What is the Hair Radio Show?" I never will forget that. But yeah, that kind of told me, you know what, maybe you're getting somewhere, Kerry. So when I came back to do the live show, the three-hour morning show, that's the actual title of the New York newspaper, the New York Daily newspaper. They wrote, "Brooklyn hosts to revive Hair Radio Show online." I'm not kidding. It's out there on the internet just like that. So, you know, I'm very grateful. And that was one. I also had some of the publications, like the New York Amsterdam newspaper did a big story of me as well. And so, and I've appeared in different magazines, Hair Magazine, you know, the Salon Operator newspaper, and a big publication called American Salon Magazine, which I think they're connected with a big international beauty show here in New York. They've had me on their magazine covers and for the events and all of that. I'm still connected with a lot of these people. We've become great friends over the decades and just been doing amazing things. But, yeah, that's been my life. That's been my life.
Wow.
And I didn't know I had so much to say.
Oh, wow. I bet we could go on and have more episodes of listening back, because you just scratched the surface of what even I know. So
yeah.
I just thank you for, like putting in all the work, all the time, all the effort, and enjoying it, making us enjoy the journey,
Absolutely.
Too. It's amazing.
Well, Mary, before we go, I just want the folks to know how appreciative I am for you to take the time to give me a chance to tell more of my story. A lot of the fans don't know these things. I've never shared them like this. And I wanted to take a moment to say how inspired I am for making the acquaintance of Mary Ree Johnson and bringing you to the Hair Radio Network. And I know a little bit about Hair Head Heart, but what can you fill us in to tell us with before we say goodbye? What can you tell us about Hair Head Heart? So I'm going to switch the table back around.
Okay, now put me on the spot. Well, generically, Hair, Head, and Heart has to do, you know, top down, hair, literally, the mind, the things that go into thinking about not only processes, but, you know, how to make your career better. So business development, career development, that type of thing. So hair, head, and then the heart is the passion that not only I have, but the people who are service providers in the industry. To make that just better. So anything concerning Hair, Head, and Heart, I offer services still. I'm not sure how many more I'll be doing that, but I still offer services, and I'm licensed as an instructor as well as a service provider in Michigan and Minnesota. But I'm offering more and more workshops because it's easier to reach people these days. And so, you know, look for different things online, and I'll keep you posted as that.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm saying thank you to Mary Ree Johnson, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Mary. Outstanding. Great job.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage. And moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Of course, we're mid-show. It's about 7:40 in the morning, New York time. That's 6:40 a.m. for folks out in the Central Time Zone. Just a great, great day. It's Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. It's our show number 706. Show number 706 today, and if it's mid-show, about 7:30 or so, it's time for our amazing coffee, tea, and conversation for today. I want to bring to the line the gentleman who kind of helps me to keep things moving along mid-show here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys know him. His name is very easy to remember, O-T-T-O. It's my honor to welcome Otto. Happy Tuesday morning to you live on the radio.
Happy Tuesday to you, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastically. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I have to always remind our fans of the broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show that we have like a three-day kind of break each week. We do the show live on the air right now, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Although we will be broadcasting on some Mondays live again soon, so we'll keep you posted on that.
Oh, good.
So we do our show. So, yeah, so we kind of have like a three-day weekend, you know, it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that we are away from the three-hour show from 6 to 9 a.m.
Right.
Eastern. But then we tell you on those days, you need to go to HAIRadio.com and listen to our streaming network. And so, and then we're back live on Tuesday. So, you know, so it's a really, yeah. So it's kind of like our weekend. So with that in mind, Otto, what, how was your couple of days off? Did you do anything spectacular? Did you go out to Las Vegas?
No, I didn't, but I did take a trip. I took a trip to the Hair Radio. Yes, the gift shop.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you for the lead in on that, Brother Otto. Okay, what Otto is talking about, folks, we have an amazing new hairradio.com gift shop. I call it gift shop or a gift store. It is located online. You simply go to www.hairadio.com. It's pronounced Hair Radio. It has just one R in the middle. So, again, go to hairadio.com. You'll see the tab at the end indicate that if you click on it, you'll go to the store. And so when you click on that tab, it opens up into a beautiful, beautiful listing of amazing, colorful T-shirts. You'll find T-shirts from just about all of our hosts and shows. And it's a great thing to commemorate your experience being tuned in today. So that's what I always say. You know, it's a great token to keep with you on your participation on today's broadcast, a great reminder of that. So I love it. So, and the prices are incredibly right? The prices are reasonable, very reasonable. Yeah, they really are. I mean, if you go to a store, you can't really get a T-shirt under $20 that's of quality material. That's going to last. And trust me, the more you pay for the T-shirts, the longer they last. So they don't lose their color so quickly. They don't lose the shape and all of that. I'm loving it. We've got some. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. In the shows to come, we're going to do some entire pieces on some pieces. So we're going to talk a whole lot more about the different shirts and the different things. My other favorite, while I have you guys, I want to mention the mug.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, I love the mugs. Oh,
I can't wait. I can't wait for mine to get here.
Really? You ordered one? Wow.
I'm ordering later today, actually, and I'm going to order the I Love the Hair Radio, and I love the Vet Talk mugs from Michael Hopkins.
Oh, wow. Yes. Well, talk of Michael Hopkins. Well, this is the perfect lead-in. So let me just say, I love the mugs. Love them. And we'll see if we can get, you know, Michael Hopkins to weigh in on this. So, Otto, I want to say, who are we bringing on the line now?
Oh, coming to the line now is Michael Hopkins, the host of Vet Talk Radio Show, 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hahn.
Awesome, awesome. Good morning, Michael Hopkins. You're on with Otto, you're on with Kerry, and all the fans of the Hair Radio.
Good morning.
So we say good morning. Yes. Great to have you.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning. Good morning, Kerry. Good morning, Otto. And good morning, fans.
Yes. Have you been tuned into the show? Have you heard anything, Michael Hopkins, or are you just kind of rolling over this morning?
Well, I caught the tail end of one of my most favorite people on the show. That's Mary Reed Johnson.
Mary
she is
Reed
one
Johnson.
Of my favorites.
Yes. Why do you love Mary so much, Michael? Why? Tell us why.
You know, Karen, the thing I love about Mary, she just brings that warmth, that bubbliness. So early in the morning, when I wake up and I hear her, it's like I'm listening to an old friend that we're just sitting around sipping on some coffee or tea and we're just talking. And that's what I love about her. She has that warmth about her.
Exactly. And I was just going to say, Michael, folks will say the same thing about you and the folks at that talk radio show, which, as you just heard, Otto is airing today, later on in this broadcast, about 45 minutes from right now. They're going to be tuned in. The Hair Radio Morning Show fans are going to be listening. And I'm super excited and hyped for your broadcast.
Sounds like a plan to me. I am looking forward to this episode of Vet Talk Radio here on the Kerry with Kerry Hines here on the Hair Radio Network.
Oh, 8:30
East Coast 8:30 Central 7:30.
All right. Well, speaking of which, Michael, it is your broadcast show number 34. So it's the 34th installment of the Vet Talk Radio Show. That's a lot of weeks that you've been on talking to the fans of Hair Radio and the Vet Talk fans that you have brought along on this journey. So on today's broadcast, of course, the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show, just like our Hair Radio Morning Show fans, they know that they can go to HAIRadio.com. That's our website. HairRadio.com is how you pronounce it, just with one R in the middle. Now, Vet Talk Radio Show is the only program that we have that's on our network that has its own tab. I don't even have a tab for us. Michael, Vet Talk folks have a tab. So that's where the fans of your Vet Talk fans go and see what you're talking about on the next broadcast. And that's kind of where we are today, Michael. And then we're going to get a little bit more into some coffee, tea, and conversation since we got you on the show today. But first, we're going to lead in with what's coming up today about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central on Vet Talk Radio Show number 34. What have you got?
Wow, Kerry. Basically, what's going to happen, you and I, is one thing you and I kind of joke about with government and forms, and you and I kind of have like a running kind of gag on it. You know, we're always laughing about, oh, my goodness, it's another form to add to the other form, because if you don't have that form, well, guess what? We're going to be talking about forms today. and veterans. Amazing as it may seem, right?
Yes, I love it. Great idea. So what's the thing about forums that you're going to, that you said, okay, we need to do a show about forums? I know we always joke about it, but, you know, are you demystifying the forums so that the veterans know that it's not something so scary or daunting that they don't have to even attempt? You know, so you want to kind of demystify it to make it, you know, something a little bit easier that they understand. Is that the scope of the show?
Oh, pretty much, Karen. Pretty much.
Well, tell us more.
There are forms that if you're filing for compensation that you must know. You must know something about the form. And I find a lot of times, this is like you said, a lot of veterans are very intimidated by these forms, and they don't know where to start, and that they're just, oh my God, I don't want to rock the boat, because if I turn this form in, it's not the right form, and then, oh, they're going to take my compensation away from me because I took a form away. And I just had somebody like that I was talking to, and they don't want, I'm like, dude, do you realize they owe you money? I would rock the USS Enterprise if they owed me money. It's just that simple. As veterans, you know, compensation. They owe us compensation for injuries sustained. We have to live with these injuries for the rest of our lives, Carrie and Otto. So why wouldn't I rock the boat until they compensate me the way I think I should be compensated?
Wow.
That's why you're so important, Michael. That's what you're so important for the vets, Michael, and everything. I listen intently, and I share the message, your message, to any veteran I see and their families. I appreciate what you do, Michael. Wow.
Oh, thank you, Otto. I appreciate that so much. It's just I'm passionate about it.
Awesome.
Because as a veteran, the things that I went through to file to get to 100% permanent and total, to the top of the pinnacle of being a disabled veteran, I want to do everything that I can to help other veterans who want to, if they want to be at 100% permanent and total or just at 100%, I want to do everything I can on Vet Talk Radio to explain things to them so that they understand, yes, it's kind of scary to fill out these forms and deal with the VA and all that. Sure, it's kind of frightening. And yes, it is. But reality is this. You got injured when you were on active duty in the United States military. Does not matter what branch it is. You got injured. Once you got injured and that injury is sustained throughout the rest of your life, the Office of Veterans Affairs and this country made a commitment to you.
Right.
They told you as a veteran, we're going to stand by you and we're going to compensate you for the rest of your life, because what did you do? You gave a part of your life to this great land that we live in, to this great country of the United States of America. As a service member, there's only about 3% of the people who rose their right hand who decided that they wanted to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, all that good stuff. I could recite it, but, you know, it's not necessary. As a veteran, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. As a veteran, the armed forces of the United States of America, they promised us this. So it's no such thing as you don't want to rock the boat. You want to settle for like 10, 20% and we're all happy and all that. No, you have to live with these injuries and illnesses for the rest of your life. Your family has to take care of you, your spouse. So no. That's the reason why we need to go over these forms. We need to get people to understand certain concepts. And That's what I love about this. Very passionate about this, Carrie and Autumn.
You are. You are. Yeah. This is, there are no truer words spoken. So we are always, always excited to have you on to talk about Vet Talk, the Vet Talk radio show again for our veterans. And this is claims help for the veterans out there. Michael is doing something. I think you're doing incredible work, and we're real happy about recognizing it. So Vet Talk Radio comes up again in about a little over a half hour on this Tuesday, May 3rd of 2022. So I think we have Noor, one of the angels, I think, should be joining us in just a moment to give her a perspective on some of the things that you guys are doing over at Vet Talk. And then we're going to move the conversation over. We've got a million updates for you guys this morning. I see one of our surprise folks out there. I'm going to see if we can get her on to kind of hang in there with us as we talk a few, some of the things that are happening at Hair Radio this week. If we can get her feedback on some things. Let me see if I can kind of persuade her to get on the line this morning and join Michael Hopkins, Otto, and myself, Carrie Hines. Do I have a surprise caller that we know of with, we'll say from the South Jersey area? Ms. Shanta, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
All. Everybody give Shanta a good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning and good morning.
Yes.
I chimed in to see
you,
what the conversation
yes, we love
was.
Having
so this is
you here. Yes. What a great surprise this morning for Shanta. Now, Shanta, you guys know she is an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, a nurse. You're so many. You check a lot of boxes. You're one of our favorite folks here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. You're really on your way. So we love when you drop by, Shanta. And I think this is your first time being on with Michael as well.
Michael, how are you this morning?
Oh, super fantastic and going to get better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, honey. Yes.
And,
but this is an excellent conversation.
Oh, Shanta, what have you heard? What did you hear, Shanta?
I was hearing you all speak about how, you know, the veterans have served us and how it's important when they're disabled for us to provide money for them, for them and their families. That's very important.
Exactly.
Because once an injury happens, we know as adults, sometimes it's hard to heal that injury. So,
Yes,
you spread a lot of knowledge for us.
Oh,
and people
say, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Did you hear that, Michael? Shanta is just in tune. We love having you, Shanta. You always just chime on in, and it's always on point. So good stuff.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Very good.
Yes.
So listen, I want to tell everybody, and it looks like, we've got some great, great people who are part of this incredible thing that happened. And Michael's team, he's got a whole, like you, just some incredibly amazing women who are helping him on his journey with his show. So they actually helped to produce his broadcast. We call them the Angels, Michael's Angels.
Yeah,
show,
Michael's
course,
Angels.
The Vet Talk Radio Show, right? Michael's Angels,
yeah. Otto. Oh, yeah.
Right? And they come on, that's Katrina, Noor, and Nicole. And they kind of share some updates and all of that. They help him to pull his show together each week. So this Tuesday, in about a half hour, the Vet Talk will be taking over our airwaves for the last 30 minutes of today's broadcast. So real happy about that. So, Michael, I am so excited. We can't wait to hear what you've got, on the show live again today. The one thing I do want to add to that, in addition to your claims talk on forum, you are going to be on with the Angels talking about Mother's Day on Friday. We have got two things. We've got our own Ham Radio Morning Show Friday talk about Mother's Day.
But you are going to be talking about it today with your angels at a little before 9 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, a little before 8 Central. So I'm super excited about that as well. So we're thinking about our mom, and we're going to talk about that in general on Friday's show this week. So on May 6th, on Friday, May 6th, you don't want to miss the mid-show. Don't want to miss the mid-show. So real happy about that.
That's
okay.
Exciting
Michael!
Show.
Yeah. So Michael, we'll check in with you in just a bit. A little later on, and we'll talk a little bit more. We'll give you a chance to get yourself together for Vet Talk Radio Show number 34, again, airing at 8:30 Eastern today, right here on the Hair Radio Network. All right, Michael, thank you. Great job, Michael Hopkins.
Thank you. Good work, Michael.
All right, buddy. Okay, so we'll be checking in with Michael shortly. Listen, we're gonna keep all of you guys right here. Shanta, we're keeping you right here. Otto, we're keeping you right here. I'll be right here. We're going to take a little bit of a music break. And then when we come back, we've got a whole lot to get into. I want to talk about what's coming up this week on the broadcast. I also want to talk about some things that are happening that you have not heard about. We're live this morning on May 3rd, 2022, this Tuesday morning. It's hour show number 706 of the 3 hour, 6 to 9 a.m. live Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Otto's joining me. We've got our surprise drop-in with Miss Shanta. Shanta Love, we're so excited. Organic Love Collection. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So here's the music break. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is one of my favorites. Shanta, I know this goes back a little bit, but it's our theme this whole week. It's all about summertime. So we're going to talk a little. Yeah, some, you know, I know it's still a tad on the early side, you know, but I wanted to kick off the summer feeling. And, you know, so throughout all of our broadcasting, all of our shows, we're going to take a moment to, you know, talk about some happiness and happy times. And a long time ago, there was, and Otto, I don't know if you've heard of this, okay? But there was a song that we kicked off with early this morning called Summertime. And it's, you know, I'd like to harken back to the happier days of Will Smith, okay?
Yeah.
And so he was on, this was his big hit record with DJ Jazzy Jeff. You guys remember these guys from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which Bel-Air is one of my favorite places. Remind me to tell you a little bit about a trip I had there once. But anyway, this is really just an incredible song. It's a And it reminded me, I think we don't get a chance to play too many rap songs because a lot of them, you know, don't have radio edits, so we don't get a chance to do that. But this one, you know, if Will Smith is rapping it, it's pretty safe. Okay. So, yeah, we're going to take a quick listen to this. When we come back, we've got more with our surprise drop-in, Shanta. We're going to talk to her a little bit more about some business things as we love to get her feedback. Today is my question to her is about customer service.
Oh,
still expect customer service when you make phone calls, when you go to stores, or is customer service over? Good customer service, that is. So I'm going to ask Shanta about that in just a moment. And Otto, same thing with you. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. And
it's a great,
for 8:30.
It's a great topic for entrepreneurship. Yes.
Awesome. I'm glad you feel that way. Okay. All right. Shanta, yeah, we're gonna get your feedback in just a moment as well. So, folks, here is the Will Smith song. All right, stay with us.
Drum, please.
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove to soothe and move romance?
give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. But back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout, it looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage. and moreover manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media. Where business is just starting out, so I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram.
Awesome.
And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hines.
We're back live on this Tuesday morning. It's May 3rd of 2022. It's our show number 706, the 706 shows. And let me just be real clear about this. We're talking about 706 of this, the three hour 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern show, not our entire career, but just the 3 hour live broadcast. So that's a lot of shows. And I'm really happy to bring back to the line quite a few folks who have joined us. And if you're just tuning in, we've been talking about a very big Tuesday morning on this broadcast. So if you listen back a little later, you know that we share the show across our social media and all that wonderful good stuff, like Facebook and all of that. And then for the folks who are tuned in for Vet Talk Radio Show, at 9, from 9 till 11, we have streaming over at hairradio.com, the best of Vet Talk, so you'll enjoy all of that. But Michael will be on live at 8:30 Eastern with a live episode today, so you don't want to miss that by just keeping it right here, and it'll automatically connect you at 8:30 to the Vet Talk folks. So listen, I want to kind of get Otto. You guys know he's been my right hand. The one, I say, Otto, you have been, I got a new little banner for you. You're a great listener to the broadcast. Yeah, you have been listening almost consecutively since you have met us at, here recently at the IBS show. You've listened consecutively. And I think you're going to be a record holder very soon with that. So thank you for tuning in. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, it's a great experience. I love it.
Awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit more. Speaking of which, you are an entrepreneur from the South Jersey area as well. And I want to bring back to the line, she is also an entrepreneur that you just heard her commercial right here. We're talking about the I Have a Product, of course, the incredible Shanta. Shanta, yes.
Good morning.
Organic Love Collection. Good morning again. Yes. Welcome.
Shanta. How are you, hon?
Great to be here with you all this morning.
All right. Great to have you with us, really. All right. So listen, Michael Hopkins and his angels over there, we've invited everybody to kind of weigh in on some of the topics. I'm going to see if we can work them in really quickly. Just to say a little good morning, and because they've gotten up to be part of our coffee tea and conversations this morning.
Yeah.
So the question is about customer service. So before we get to the folks who have called in to weigh in, I want to turn to Shanta for a quick moment.
Shanta, of course, again, Organic Love Collection, but let me just ask you, being a budding big store person, you know, shopping and all of that. Oh, I hear some background noise, folks, so I'm not sure what
sorry.
That is. Oh, okay, yeah.
Let me go back to the regular phone.
Yeah, we got to keep you sounding good. So, Shanta, I need to ask you, what does good customer service mean to you?
Good customer service means that when I walk in, you have a smile on your face and you're greeting and you greet me and you're warm. And moreover, you teach me about whatever service or product that you're providing. And it's just a je ne sais quoi of when you're getting good customer service. It makes you feel good. So it's always important to be on your best behavior and let business be business and leave everything personal at the door when you're doing business. And for there just to be a good connection between you and the audience you're trying to capture. And most of all, if you look good, you feel good. So when you show up for work, you should always be dressed for work.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I kind of agree. Okay, so 100%. Otto, but what about you? What is, what about receiving good customer service? Do you let me flip it? Do you know when you have not received good customer service?
It's I make if I don't, then I usually probably won't go back. But in my particular industry, my customer service is pretty much one on one with the customer explaining. I like to go if it's a husband and wife with a home. I like to everybody's got to be there so nobody's has any misunderstandings. So we walk the job, and I explain. Sometimes they're like, "Oh no, I want this, blue." So you get all the facts, write it down, and then I believe it's follow up. First of all, being there on time for your estimates, follow up, and then showing up, like Shanta say, looking good, professional, and just ready, to perform at a professional level. Which at times I notice when I'm tired. It affects my professionalism, so I have to take a break or step back for a minute, maybe go outside and regroup. But customer service, when I go to stores and different things, I usually, it's pretty much been good to me, and I don't know, in my own little business. Huh?
No, I said, okay, sounds good, okay.
Yeah, you got it. You just got to be professional, like Shanta said, and keep it business, Keep it business.
Awesome. I just love it here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. If you guys are just tuning in, we've been really kind of talking. Today we are mid-show. We're kind of closing in on the third hour now. And Michael Hopkins comes up with Vet Talk Radio Show at about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, folks. Real excited. Hey, I've got a surprise caller, a person who has been with me in recent times off the radio show. So this is her first time getting a chance to chat. I'm going to have her tell you a little bit about her experience with Hair Radio and see what she has to say this morning. And if she's been listening, so a little bit about good customer service and what does good customer service mean to her. You guys know she's actually out of the Virginia area. So for now, anyway, I'll have her tell you a little bit more. So it's my pleasure to welcome to the line, I'm going to call her Teresa D. Are you there this morning?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear. Now, listen, everybody, just give Teresa a big old Hair Radio welcome and good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Teresa D. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And you guys can call me Trey. I'm sorry if I sound kind of funny. I had surgery on dental surgery.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow. Well, Shanta, you're also on with us. Shanta's a nurse, so we need to get you some anything we can probably hook you up here this morning on the show. So we're happy to have you. We really are. So, hey, let me tell you, first of all, now listen, Teresa D., I want to tell everybody a little bit about your street, because, you know, you've known me for a while. And tell everybody, if you can, a little bit about that, okay?
Yes, I reached out to you because I reached out to you right after my mother passed. And my mother and I have talked for years about my hair journey and creating a hair product. And my mother had cancer, a brain tumor. So she had a bald spot. And, oh, my God, I'm not going to cry.
Wow.
All the years up until she died, I was able to grow my daughter's hair out. And my daughter, I'm so nervous right now because no one's ever heard my story. My daughter came to me when she was a little girl, and she was probably about 3 years old. And her hair was already down her back, like waist side. And she said, "Mommy, I want to be like Rapunzel." And so I was like, "You can be Rapunzel, you know." And I'm black. I'm not gonna say African American all that stuff. You know, I'm black. You know.
Okay.
And so I told my daughter, you know, we're going to be Rapunzel. And so that was our mission. So when I was in the military. I was in the Navy. And we moved to Italy.
And you were in the Navy for a long time. I just want to say that. That's important.
Yes. I did 23 years in the Navy.
Wow. Thanks for your service, Teresa. Thank you.
Yes.
So we got there, and right before I was in Florida in school, and I remember driving home. I was on the highway, driving all the way to Arkansas to see my daughter because I was in school, and I mean it was nonstop on the highway, and I get there, and I'm looking at my daughter's hair, and I was like, "What's wrong?" You know, because her bangs do not look right. And my daughter had that little guilty look on her face, like she had sold the damn cat's dog food or something, or food or whatever. My parents, they couldn't even look me in my eyes. And I was like, "What is wrong?" And sure enough, my daughter had, she took a comb, and it got tangled in her hair. And she didn't know what to do. And she cut her whole side, one side of her head off.
Oh.
Oh, my Teresa D. Wow.
But you know what?
Wow.
It was a fashion statement because that was when Gwen Vistani came out.
Oh, yeah.
With
it's
her
style again, by the way.
And Dear Johnny and...
Yeah.
So we did that whole video in Europe because her hair fit right into that. And I grew all that out to the point where it passed her behind and it was in the toilet. It was like, oops.
Yeah.
We are
wow.
But she was.
Well, Shanta, hold it. Before you go on too far, I also wanted to just jump in real quickly with this. You've been one of the reasons I wanted you to come on today and surprise our listeners is because you also are starting to make, you've decided on a big change. And I love that about your story. You know, you're picking up roots and you're looking at a new city and a new state. How do you feel about that? And what can you tell the fans about never giving up, no matter where we are along the world and the age scale, we believe in ourselves and still believe our best life is ahead. So what do you want to tell the folks this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show about your new journey?
Thank you. Thank you for asking me that. And I will tell you, I'm very scared, but I'm very optimistic at this point. See, I live in a military family, and every 4 years my family, we would move. I retired out of the Navy. My dad was in the Navy. So I did the same job that my dad did while he was in the Navy. So
I stepped
in his footsteps, you know, literally one step. And so that was what I knew. That was my craft. And when I got over to Europe, I realized that that's how, especially in Italy, is who your family is who you are going to be. That is your surname. And I always wondered why my dad always asked me, what is your surname? And so I grew up with that, and I know my surname. And so as I went through my life, and that's all I knew. And now I am out of the military. I am retired, and I am in a new chapter of my life. And I'm in Virginia, and I am going to Atlanta. So
now, hold on. What part of Virginia are you in? Because we've got Michael Hopkins coming up in about 5 minutes. Virginia, VA. Okay, Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful. Okay.
But
all right.
I'm originally from California.
What part of California?
It's Vallejo, right? Up north?
Yeah.
A couple of minutes from Oakland, San Francisco, because it's like once you cross that bridge, it's like, whoop.
Yes, we've got friends out there. Well, listen, let me just tell you, first of all, it is a great pleasure and honor to have you on the show today, Teresa D. And I have to echo Otto's sentiment. We certainly thank you for 23 years in the service. My goodness.
That's
incredible just to even talk about. Also, I just want to remind the listeners today, Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk folks, Teresa Dia, we just want to remind the folks, they, in about 5 minutes or so, again, Teresa D, just a great joy to have you with us. So thank you. So you got to come back. I'm hoping you'll join us on Friday's show when we're talking about moms, and it's a great mid-show live chat that you're reaching everybody literally around the world, and so we're real excited. So everybody will be back joining us. Shanta will be back with us as well on Friday, and we thank you, Shanta, as well out there who is doing her thing. And Teresa D, we thank you, and Otto, and everybody. Now, I want you guys to stay tuned, stay with us this morning, because Michael Hopkins, talk about veterans. Michael's going to be talking. It's his 34th broadcast. Can you believe that, Teresa D? His 34th
broadcast. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, on helping veterans to complete claims. And today he's talking about some forms that you guys need to know. So there might be something helpful in it. You never know.
Yeah.
So stay right here. You don't have to change a button. You don't have to hit a button. And we'll be rolling in with Vet Talk Radio Show in just a couple minutes. So so listen, Teresa, I want to talk to you a little bit more over the next few days about this next, you know, this is a huge step. And I'm saying for me,
this is my first move since I got out of the military.
Wow.
And it's my first move since both my parents have passed.
Wow.
So, I have jumped into the ocean and I'm swimming. I'm in the Navy. And I don't even know how to swim. Like, literally, I don't know how to swim.
You are good.
When I went to boot camp, I was almost getting ready to fell out of boot camp because I did not swim. And my mom said, jump in, baby. She goes, they'll poke you with a pole if you're going to drown. And I'm like, really? Like,
wow.
You know? Yeah. And
that is amazing.
I remember that day. I jumped in that water. Literally, I jumped in that water. That butch woman was standing behind me, and she was like,
"You got fans. You guys, write it. Send your complaints over all the way over to Teresa D. Listen, we'll get her back on real soon. She is just Teresa, we thank you so much, and we're going to take a little bit of a break. Otto, we've been having a great show so far. Today has been amazing. I've been loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a great show. Awesome today. Okay, so let's take a quick music. We'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, it's time for VTR for Vet Talk Radio. Stay with us.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins. Executive producer Carrie Hines and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right. We are live. It is Tuesday morning. It's May 3rd of 2022. It's show number Vet Talk Radio Show. Number 34, I want to bring to the line the illustrious host, the man with all the, I was going to say the man with all the plans and the answers. We're talking about Michael Hopkins. Michael, good morning to you. A big old salute this Tuesday morning on the show. Live, May 3rd, folks. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie Hines. And how are you this morning?
We've been wearing many, many hats. I just want to say good morning to you as the listeners of the Hair Radio Show now. We are over on to one of our amazing, venerable shows. We're talking about Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk Radio Show. Michael, I'm just excited to have you here. We love chatting with you. We love what's happening. And it's just a wonderful reminder every day that you're on the show and reminding folks and pointing out the vets, awesome. So we appreciate it, and we love everybody for tuning in. And Michael's Angels, of course, Katrina, Noor, Nicole will be with us in just a bit as well. So Michael Hopkins, what do you have? Today I'm excited. We've got a lot going on Vet Talk as well. And I don't want to forget some quick announcements, so I'm just going to let everybody know real quickly that we have an amazing store for all the veterans, for all the people. And you're going to love this. It has beautiful Vet Talk Radio mugs. It has beautiful Vet Talk Radio t-shirts. It has Michael's Angels t-shirts and so much more. It's already there for you to see. Just simply, when you guys get a quick second, go to HAIRadio.com and click on the tab at the end. It says store. So that's our Hair Radio gift shop store, where that's where all you'll see everything. There's Hair Radio stuff, and there's also Vet Talk Radio. So just want to make sure that's clear. Okay, Michael Hopkins, done with my commercial. So what have you got for the fans and the vets today on the show?
Well, Carrie, we most definitely will be talking about today. There are 10 must-known forms for filing success. That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Awesome. And forms, this is really big. I want you to talk a little bit real quickly, Michael, because folks think of forms and we get all, you know, oh, brother, just a lot of bureaucracy type stuff. Folks get turned off about forms. But why are these forms so important?
Well, Carrie, it's just like everything else in the government. If you don't fill out the correct form, you won't get the result that you're looking for. And I find that a lot of times with a lot of the vets, they're not sure on what to do for their compensation. They're just not sure. If you've never filed before, you draw a blank. It's like the old deer in the headlights thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of times
no one points us in the right direction as veterans as to where's your starting point. What is it that you have to do first before anything else if you're going for, say, compensation? Or you might have been going for what we call unemployability. You might be going for SMC or special monthly compensation over top of the compensation you're already getting. And a lot of times, Carrie, we just do not know where to go with these, with these forms. We just don't know. Nobody tells us. You fill out the wrong form. You would think the government sometimes would tell you, right, as a veteran.
Exactly.
Sometimes they have selective memory. And then you go to the VA hospital.
And you get it to Michael.
Yep. Okay. I mean, you know, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
So shall we get shall we get on in it, Mr. Kerry Hines?
I'm excited to hear what you've got as the first lead-in on this because, you know, I was just thinking it reminds me of some of those, you know, where it comes with the bureaucracy. You send forms back, and the folks, they don't tell you right away. They wait until you know, they tell you it's 4 to 6 weeks, and then you'll hear something. Well, they wait the entire time to tell you you've done something wrong. You got to wait a whole another 4 to 6 weeks. So
very, very
totally
typical.
Yeah. So what have you got for us, Michael? What are you leading in with today?
I'm leading in with the first form is it's called a VA form 21-526EZ.
Oh, okay.
You're probably saying, what the heck is
that? Right away anyway, but go right ahead. Wow.
And the technical name for it, Kerry Hines, is Application for Disability Compensation and Related Compensation. That's the technical name for it.
Wow.
The let's use it on the street name form is, this is how you file for compensation. If you're trying to get paid, as a veteran, you fill this form out first, and you tell them what's wrong with you. That's basically what this form does.
Got it.
And it's so very important. And very typical of the government, Carrie. I'm just going to, real quick, very typical. This application has 12 pages to it. But guess how many, guess how many pages you actually need?
Don't say one.
You're pretty close.
12 pages?
12 pages. It has 12 pages to it. And guess what? Drum roll, please. You only need four pages. That's it. You only need – that's why people get confused. They see all of this stuff like, oh, my God, I got to remember all this
enough.
Stuff.
That's enough. Wow.
And it's like, no, not really. You don't have to remember a lot of stuff. You just need four pages. Obviously, you know your name. You know where you live. You know what's wrong with you. And you know your banking information. You know, and you know when you served in the military. Those are the basic things you need to know when you're filling this form out. Very basic, very rudimentary stuff. You have an idea how you got hurt. You have an idea why you got hurt. You have an idea when you got hurt.
Wow.
Nothing difficult so far, is it?
No, but I was just thinking, so you definitely want people to know, do not feel overwhelmed. Do not be afraid. Push through on all of that because it's important.
Right.
It's in your interest to do so.
Very important. And also we have this thing called YouTube. If you're not sure, go online. And there are all people from all walks of life in the military that will explain it to you.
Wow. That's a great
Seen anything
tip.
Hard? Nope,
Not
nothing
so
hard
far,
so far,
so
is
good.
It?
So far, so good.
Yep. And now, Carrie, the next form that I'll be talking about is called a VA form 21-4138.
Okay. And tell us about that.
And this form, by the way, it complements the application that you turn in. It complements it. Reason being, its nomenclature or its official title is called Statement in Support of Claim.
statement in
and
support
a lot
of
claim. Court of claim. And believe it or not, a lot of vets, when they've been turning in claims for compensation, they overlook this form.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of times it's not emphasized that you tell the government, i.e. the VA, your side of the story of why you think you should get compensated. And you're telling them your side of the story in your own words. No fancy words, no medical terminology, none of that. You really don't need a whole lot of that as a lay person, because that's what we are. We're lay people. Last time I checked, I don't have an MD behind my name.
No.
Last time
well,
I checked.
Well, you're a doctor. You're a doctor of claims. I call you the king of claims, Michael.
Works
you know
for
that.
Me. Works for me. Now, but you know, Carrie,
okay.
I can tell the government why my leg hurts. Now, can I?
Yeah. Yes.
I can tell them when I get up in the morning what kind of pain I have, how difficult it is for me to get into my vehicle or walk, or I have to use a cane. I can also give them, when I fill this form out, I can give them examples of medical information that's in my service treatment records or that or medical information that's in my health records from me going to my primary care physician. I can do that as examples. And that's what this form is for. This form basically tells the, we call them adjudicators, basically the people that when you turn this information in to the claims section of the VA, you can explain to them how you feel and what's going on with you by using this form.
Yeah.
And it's a real simple form. I mean, two-page form. You obviously know your name, you know where you live, and you know what's wrong with you.
Now, in the
and that's
past,
all you,
Michael,
that's what
I
you're telling
two pages. I would think 2 pages would be a lot, but after you led in with 12, 2 pages sounds like a piece of cake.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, and what they do, Carrie, they give you two big blocks on the paperwork, blanks. Mm-hmm. Blocks,
yes.
And you just write down what's wrong with you, and you write down your feelings and so forth. And that's what you have, one on the first page and one on the second page.
Wow.
And then you sign it, dated sign it. It goes along with the application. And also, as a side note, you also, as I said, you're going to include any other information along with these two forms, any kind of medical information. Oh, and another thing too, Carrie, there's another beautiful thing about this form.
What?
If there's anybody in your family that's over 18 that have witnessed you with the issues you have as a veteran, guess what they can do? They can fill out a form like this also and turn it in.
Really? Wow.
Yes, they really can. That if it's your spouse, one of your kids that's over 18, it could be a parent, an uncle, aunt, a friend. We call them buddy statements or buddy letters. That's the nomenclature a lot of the vets are used to hearing about turning in buddy statements. And believe it or not, Carrie Hines, buddy statements are very important. They weigh heavily on the VA's decision to grant you compensation. So I behoove every veteran that can hear me that's in the sound of my voice, when you're doing claims, you make sure you turn in a VA Form 21-4138, your statement in
now
support of claim.
Now, how about if I have several buddies?
Hey, the more the merrier.
Okay.
I wouldn't care if you had the seven dwarfs filling out stuff for you. As long as they're over 18, it doesn't matter.
Find a buddy from somewhere.
And a lot of times, Carrie, guys, you know, people think this is really hard to do. But with the advent of Facebook and social media, you can find people, as a veteran, you can find people that you served with, 30, 40, 50, 60, 20. I have found guys that I served with 40 years ago.
Wow.
And it's as if, you know, it was like yesterday. I just saw him at the PX. So I saw him in formation.
Amazing.
We're just a little older, fatter. We're a little older, fatter, and grayer with the hair. But other than that, we're still the same people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, Michael,
now,
I, yes. Okay. All
oh.
right. You go ahead. You want to tackle
oh,
one
yeah.
more? All
yeah.
right.
What I was going to say, here's another important form that you really have to know something about it. It's a series of forms.
Mm.
And it's called a VA form 20-0995. Basically,
well, you know,
you
Michael, repeat that for the folks who are writing things down.
It's a VA form 0995.
Okay. And what is that form about?
And it's called a supplemental claim form. What happened, just real backstory on this, back in 2019, the government came up with another way. They eliminated some things, and they wanted to make it easier for vets. So what they decided to do is after you file for a claim, if you get denied, you have three options in order to explain to the government why you think you shouldn't have gotten denied your compensation. This is the first one. This supplemental claim, basically it's a rebuttal to the decision that the VA gave you that you disagree with it.
Wow.
The thing about it, you just have to provide new, what we call new and material evidence. It has to be relevant new evidence. Perfect example, I fell. I hit my knee. My knee, you know, they put me on sick call and I got out. But I've always had, I had some issues with my knee, still had issues. Well, I filed. The VA, the claim session says, well, no, it's not service connected. You do have a disability with your knee. We all agree with that. But it's not service connected. That's what they'll say. And I'll say, well, no, that can't be. It is service-connected because I fell and I hurt my knee. I was running while I was active duty, and I fell and I hurt my knee. I look back in my original service treatment records when I was on active duty, and Carrie Hines, guess what I find in my medical records?
What's that?
I find a sick call slip that put me in the infirmary, I guess you would call it, or put me in the hospital or the emergency room, and it says I hurt my right knee.
Mm.
The VA said I didn't. But guess what? Now I have medical proof from active duty service. I turn that in. They look at it, and they say, oh, wow, yes, this guy did hurt his knee. So therefore, we have to give him compensation.
So if you hadn't found that, you would have been a little bit out of luck.
A little bit short. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Wow.
I would have been a little bit short. But that's one of the things sometimes, and you have a year to fill this out, Karen. You have a whole year to find the information and return it to the compensation section of the VA. And a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of veterans go into the panic mode and they just see the denial letter and they say, well, I got denied. Oh, well. But they have to dig a little deeper. Sometimes if you dig a little deeper and you search and you look and you search, it's the same thing. A lot of times if you were in some type of accident when you were active duty and you're trying to show the government that this did happen, believe it or not, Carrie Hines, you could literally go get a newspaper article that identifies you in being involved in that accident, or maybe your unit was involved in some type of battle or some type of training accident. You can literally, and I showed somebody this, we went online, we found out at a certain point in time, he was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, there was a helicopter accident that he was involved in. And it proved it. It had the unit he was in, the time frame that he was serving in the military, and the accident happened.
Mm. Wow.
It's the same thing if you were off duty, off base, mm-hmm. and you had a car accident and you got hurt. Same principle.
Wow. I'm just in shock, Michael Hopkins. And I know the fans out there of Vet Talk Radio feel the same way. So who in the world would have ever thought there was so much to do with the forum?
Right. You know, Kerry, a lot of times this stuff makes us into like private investigators as veterans. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like sometimes.
And maybe
like
those are the ones. Yeah, I was going to say maybe those are the veterans who are looking to get to the bottom of things. Like you said, some feel like overwhelmed and just say, oh, well, they denied me or whatever, and I don't need to look any further. But you're saying you do sometimes. It's not all the
right.
time. Check into
right.
it. I love
yep.
it.
Just
love it.
Just have to dig deep. Now, Kerry, here's another form that goes along
yes.
with that same lane that we're talking about now.
Okay.
And this form is called a VA form 20-0996.
Okay. And what now tell us about that form.
This form is called a higher level review. And it's used to request a high-level review from a more seasoned claims rep about your problem. In other words, when you send it into the VA to the compensation section,
uh-huh.
you get a denial back from them, a denial letter, and you say,
yes.
wait a minute, no, that's not right because it has every element here for me to get compensation. So instead of you searching for new and material evidence like on the other form, the 995 form, this
yeah.
form, you're requesting that a seasoned person, somebody who's been working for the VA claim system longer than the person that originally looked at your paperwork, that's what
yeah.
you're requesting, a seasoned person.
Uh-huh.
You want them with fresh eyes because that's what they have. They have fresh eyes to look at what you turned in. And the good thing about it, Kerry Hines, on the form, on the back of the form, you can actually request to talk to somebody.
Oh, really?
They will
over
actually call you. On the phone,
wow.
they will actually set up an appointment with you and call you and discuss your claim that you turned in. They'll actually talk to you. And a lot
wow.
of times you can get a lot done because sometimes it's just a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen to me. It was a difference of opinion, and that difference of opinion wound up getting me 100% permanent in total.
Wow.
Because
wow.
they realized they did an error. They
and isn't
sent
it so easy once you just talk to the person?
Right. It makes it a whole lot easier. Yeah, it makes it a whole lot easier. So it did. They find out they made an error. All I did was I pointed out some things that I thought was wrong, and then they realized they made an error in judgment with my compensation. So they had not only did they have to compensate me, they had to change the effective date for 2 years backwards.
Wow.
Instead of being effective in 2020, my effective date of becoming 100% permanent and total veteran had to go all the way back to 2018.
Amazing. Now, see why checking things a little bit further and checking things.
Right. You have to.
You have to. And listen, I have loved the forums talk today. I love it. Love it. You got to do another show with this, Michael. Please, you got to do more forums talk. And because, again, and the word forms normally, you know, kind of makes everybody a little nervous, but I think you clarified stuff today, and I think you brought it into where we can, you know, it's not a bad thing. So it's appreciated. So let me just give my salute. I didn't get a chance to salute the veterans. We got to salute the veterans every broadcast here. So I give my personal salute, my personal thank you for your service. We love you. We appreciate everything that you've done and continue to do, and, you know, your journey. And Michael, you help the veterans with this. So this is what their journey, and this is a big part of it. So thank you for doing the work that you're doing, Michael Hopkins, and with you as well. I just want to take this point. Yeah. Listen, I want to turn a little bit to this, Michael. So we're going to have you back. You'll do another continuation with the forum. A couple quick announcements. Important. I got to get the angels on as well. Let me bring them on in. Nur Jahan, Katrina, and Nicole, good morning. And while we do that, good morning to you guys, the angels, Michael's angels. I also want to take a moment to let good morning, guys. Good morning. Welcome. Now, hold it. We just want to remind everybody, coming up at 9 o'clock today, of course you guys know this already, go over to hairadio.com. Okay, from 9 to 11 this morning, and you can hear over there. It'll be on with recent stuff that you guys have aired on Vet Talk, or that we've aired, rather. So that's coming up at 9 o'clock. Also, don't forget, while you're there at hairadio.com, our website, there is a new gift store with Vet Talk mugs and T-shirts and all of that stuff there. So outstanding. And we're just happy to have you guys with us. Now, the reason I brought you guys on real quickly is to talk a little bit about Mom's Day. And we're going to have to plan another over on our streaming network. Maybe we'll get that on Sunday, on actual Mother's Day on our streaming network. But, Katrina, let me lead in with you. You are the first lady of children's rights, I call you. You're always protecting kids and young people. Katrina, out of Paris, Texas, what do you want to say about Mother's Day? Can you give us a quick what it means to you?
Mother's Day to me, like, it's really it's a time where the mothers celebrate themselves and enjoy being a motherhood, but I always still celebrate it with my children because if it wasn't for them, then I would be a mother.
Now, you also have a relative who was a veteran, am I correct? Do you have any great memories about that, being a mom in conjunction with that?
A relative that's, I have several relatives that was a veteran.
Exactly, yeah. Amazing. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to just turn over to Ms. Nur Jahan. Nur, I know you're there. Real quickly, can you give us a great memory briefly of, moms and veteran talk this morning?
Oh, sure. So it's kind of hard to say which memory I have, but just really quick, spending time with my mom when we have go to eat out or something like that, and I don't know what we're going to do this year, but we'll figure out something. And it's not really nothing special. We just, take out time with me and my sister and her and do something. But as far as me being a mother of a vet, that's a little different because I don't really get to, spend time with my son. But I know he always makes sure that he calls me on Mother's Day, and so I just want to give him a shout out for thinking of me when he does that.
Thank you, Nur Jahan. And Nicole, I'm going to give you the last word with Michael Hopkins. So, Nicole, what would you like to say?
I would just like to say, just for myself, just being a mother is just the greatest joy possible. To be able to just share yourself, and impart your wisdom onto young people, whether it's you're biologically a mother, whether you're just a family member, whether you're a community member, it doesn't matter. If you are taking time with children and sharing yourself and teaching them, then you are a mother because you are sharing yourself. And I just want to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. My mother has passed away. She passed away in 2014, and it's even more important for me to spend that time with my children as much time as I can. They're younger, and so we always spend the day just doing something fun, food, fellowship, and just having a great time.
Oh, well, listen, I am loving your stories, and happy Mom's Day to all of you. Michael Hopkins, last word for the vets. What's your tagline?
It's all about the vets.
All right, folks. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Thank you, Michael Hopkins. Great show. Thank you, Angels. Outstanding. You know, definitely remember next week we're back here at 8:30 for another edition of Vet Talk Radio Show. For me, Carrie Hines, I'm back 6 in the morning with an all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with my guest from Upscale Magazine, so you don't want to miss that. Michael Hopkins, we'll see you back here next week. Don't forget to go over to hairradio.com and continue to listen to the